Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. How is everyone feeling on this morning? Amen. Glad you're feeling good. Glad you're feeling blessed. We are blessed to be able to come together to serve God in spirit and in truth once more, once again. And that's an opportunity that we take full advantage of. Bless the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Praise his holy name. Amen. For he's worthy to be praised. Good morning again, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're visiting for the first time here at Central Church of Christ, please know that we are actually honored by your presence. And if you're able, at the end of worship service, please get acquainted with those within this loving congregation if you haven't already. Amen. Here at Central Church of Christ, believers continue to strive to see the world as Jesus saw it, love the world as Jesus loved it, and serve the world as Jesus served it, knowing that through sharing the love of Christ, it will make a difference in the lives of everyone who sincerely receive him. I want to take this time to thank all the brothers for leading in the worship service on this morning. Grateful to serve alongside you once more. Thank you, Brother Robert, for the hymns of praise. Thank you, Brother John, for the announcements. Brother Darrell, thank you so much for the shepherd's prayer. Brother Scott, thank you again for the scripture reading. And Brother Joel, thank you for the communion. Amen. And now, by the grace of God, with all humility and boldness, I'm honored to share the good news with you on this morning. Amen. The good news, the gospel truth. It's good news for a reason. You know, the good news that the world has is not the same good news that we read of in our holy scriptures. It's so different, and it's remarkable when we get a chance to really identify with what Christ has truly done for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. Last week, Brother Scott, he brought a wonderful lesson. He shared a heartfelt and insightful message with us, and it was titled New Beginnings. New beginnings, amen. And it was coming from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And it was truly a blessing considering all the new beginnings that each and every one of us are actually experiencing within our lives. You had mentioned that your daughter has committed to going to the military, which is, thank you so much for her service. And I hope the Lord continues to go with her wherever she goes. People are starting new jobs, new careers. We have babes in Christ. There's so many new things, new beginnings that is taking place in our lives. And again, we have an opportunity to give God thanks along the way. Also, our Brother Scott, he also emphasized within his lesson last week, he emphasized reconciliation and how the blood of Jesus Christ washes us continuously. He pointed out that in last week's lesson, that grace and mercy given to us by God through Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we should go on willfully sinning in our lives. And on that note, today's lesson is titled A New Resolution. Amen. A New Resolution, coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Amen. Let's get right into today's lesson. And at the conclusion of today's lesson, we'll be able to embrace a new resolution that God already sees in all of us. Amen. King Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen? Amen. Behold, I make all things new. When a new year comes around, you may hear the term New Year's resolution. A New Year's resolution is often the tradition found both on the Eastern and the Western world. It's when a person resolves to continue doing good practices. It's when a person is wanting to change undesired behaviors. It's when a person sets a goal to accomplish. It's when a person decides to commit at the beginning of the year to make a change. And some of the resolutions, and this was kind of addressed by Brother Scott on last week, some of the resolutions that are brought to the forefront is getting organized, spending more time with family and friends, exercising, eating healthier. All of these things are great. Losing weight, spending less time on social media, quitting an addiction, reducing the stress levels that come with the job that we do, investing, saving, and giving more, living life to the fullest. Trusting the Lord, traveling and doing more, learning a new hobby and learning a new skill. And many of these resolutions, they sound so great, and they're worthwhile to pursue on and ultimately as an individual strives to get better incrementally. But the truth be told, only God is able, through his word, to change us in a way that trumps any resolution that we can ever come up with. Amen. And the questions to consider throughout this lesson is, what is a resolution? Who am I called to become? And how do I get there? Amen. How do I get there? If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and divine word. We're going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Emphasis on verse number 10 for context. It says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You may be seated." May the Lord add a choice blessing to all who read and obey his holy and divine word. Amen. So we'll go ahead and jump right into this lesson. It says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Amen. The inspired writer Paul, he's using these terms. He's using these terms, put off and put on. And it's really there to illustrate the daily application of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's that daily application. Put off anger. Put off wrath. Pull off malice. Pull off blasphemy. Put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Why? Why? Ultimately, because at this time, there were false teachers infiltrating the church and practicing things that threatened the body of believers in Colossians. These false teachers, they attempted to undermine the teachings of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writing this letter, he's writing this letter from prison, and he's encouraging the church in Colossians to put off all of these behaviors because they are a reflection of the unhealthy habits of the old man, which passes away. But recognize, it's not just the behaviors that are unhealthy. It's the thoughts and it's the motives that they are engaged in that are unhealthy, amen? It's the threat. It threats to try to undermine what Christ has already done and what Christ has already established. And that's where the danger comes in. Again, they're a reflection of the old man and the old thoughts, amen? And it's important to recognize that, you know, we can't just look at the symptoms. We have to get to the root of the matter, amen? Paul is reminding the church that the filthy communication, it actually died on the cross. When our sin-stricken selves, we decided to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the difference. The filthy communication, it died. Now let's see if we can actually pinpoint for a moment. If you would, just follow me. Let's see if we can pinpoint the moment the old man died in each and every one of us. Those who have obeyed the gospel. Was it when you heard the gospel truth? Was it when you believed that Jesus Christ, when you believed in him and what he did for you and the entire world? Was it when you repented of your ways and asked God to sincerely help you for the rest of your days? Was it when you confessed with your mouth and believed with your heart and mind that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is both Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God who was and is to come? Was it when you encountered the blood of Jesus Christ through the watery grave of baptism? I don't know about you, but I'm sure of one thing. The moment that you came out of the water after obeying by faith the gospel of Jesus Christ, you were considered a new creature. Amen. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. That means grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior. He is a what? He is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. All things have passed away. Therefore, it says the previous moral and the previous spiritual condition that you had before, it's passed away. Behold, all things, does that say some things? All things have become new because Jesus Christ brings new life. He brings new life. He is life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is life. You think you have life outside of Christ, you are sadly mistaken. Amen. Amen. As you were raised out of the water, something was taking place in the spiritual realm that could not be seen with our natural eyes. Jesus rose with you, resurrected. You were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is both our greatest teacher and our greatest comforter. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Each day you are given an opportunity to grow in love and thankfulness for all God has done, is doing, and will do in your life. Amen. The Apostle Paul, addressing the church in Colossians, he tells them to put off anger, put off wrath, pull off malice, pull off blasphemy, put off filthy communication out of your mouth. All of these things, put them out of your mouth. I have a question. Have you ever had bad breath? It's quite embarrassing. When you consume certain things, it leaves an unpleasant odor in your mouth. And if the condition persists, if left untreated, over time it could lead to halitosis. But the point is, Paul addresses the church in Colossians to remind them that Jesus Christ has supreme power and authority over all evil. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and he provided them with the tools to fight against sin. So if they, the church at Colossians, were to continue practicing filthy communication, it would not only lead to spiritual halitosis, but ultimately it would lead to their untimely demise. Again, don't take my word for it. In church, I say this because the same holds true today with us. Amen. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's coming from Romans chapter 6, verses 23. Again, the Lord wouldn't put it down there if he didn't mean it. Amen. It wouldn't be written for us to be able to read it if he didn't mean it. Amen. So the question that we'll tackle today, what is a resolution? Do you have time this morning? Do you have time this morning? What is a resolution? Amen. A resolution, as mentioned earlier, is when a person resolves to continue good practices. It's when a person changes an undesired trait or behavior, sets a goal to accomplish it at the beginning of the year, typically. And by definition, the word resolution, it means a firm decision, or it's a firm decision to do a thing, or it's a firm decision to not do a thing. Amen. It's either or. For someone to make a resolution, it indicates a commitment. It indicates an intent to make changes for the better. It indicates the determination to improve specific areas of an individual's life. Now, as great as all that sounds, there's still something wrong. There's a huge difference between vague intentions and a resolution. You see, vague intentions refer to a goal, a plan, an idea that is not clear, well-defined, or aligned. You see, vague intentions are merely intentions with no real commitment or action behind it. Again, something is wrong. People are claiming to have resolutions when in actuality they have vague intentions that they call resolutions. But in addition to this, I'll tell you what's wrong by asking this simple question. What is a tree without its roots? What is a tree without its roots? That's right. It's a soon-to-be dead tree. It's a soon-to-be dead tree. A tree without roots cannot stand, and a self-proclaimed resolution in and of itself is like a tree without roots. It ultimately dies. Amen. King Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, if you could turn there with me, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What this means is you have to have your priorities in order. Amen. We serve a God of order. We have to have our priorities in order. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then watch the Lord take care of all of your needs. And also watch your responsibilities grow as well, because to whom much is given, much is also required. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8. It says to us, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Catch that, day and night. You think worship takes place right now, only on Sunday? No, worship is every single day, every single moment, as mentioned before. We don't just attend a worship service. Worship is every single day, every single moment, every time we focus our thoughts on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Amen. And he's continuing to do through us. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Most people have an idea of what success is, and oftentimes come up with resolutions during the new year that omit God at every turn. God is not included or even consulted. There are some that even add the Lord to their resolutions, but it's like an afterthought. It's like garnish added to the meal at the end of the meal. Like, just sprinkle a little bit of the Lord here. God's not pleased with that. Romans chapter 12, verses 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we decided to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of our lives, we changed our mind, which is our heart. We made a firm decision to accept all that comes with living for Jesus Christ, while also being mindful of others who are lost, trying to find their way back to the source. Amen. The psalmist David in Psalms chapter 37, Psalms 37, verses 4, King David, he says, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. Catch that. Do you see it, church? When we delight ourselves in the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. Amen. The priority, again, is delighting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first. You see, I'm going to slow down here, because when an individual is operating from the carnal mindset of the old man is actually the exact opposite, delighting in their hearts instead of delighting with God from the start. Amen. Just know that as you abide with Jesus, some of the things that you thought that you needed or wanted won't seem to mean as much once you've established a true relationship with him. Amen. You know that word abide, it actually means without fading or being lost. The word abide, it means without fading or being lost. It's an unyielding commitment. It's perseverance. It's that endurance. Again, it's not in it of ourselves. It's recognizing that we need help. Amen. John chapter 15, verses 7, it says, Jesus said, John 15, verses 7, amen. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The more quality time that you spend with him, studying his word, praying, getting to know him for yourself, the more you are able to put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen. Found in only in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is so good to my soul, amen. I don't know about it. It's just so good to my soul. As we continue with the lesson text, it says, I want to make sure. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, Paul said, do not lie on one another, because this is a behavior that is of the old man. King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 11. If you could turn there with me, please. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 11, it says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. I'm going to read that again. It says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You see, our sin is disgusting to God. It's repulsive. He's disgusted by our sin, and there's no reason to go back to consuming dog vomit. The deeds of the old man are of the past and are over with. Have you ever seen a dog eat its own vomit? It's not the most pleasant thing to witness. But consider this. Whenever you decide to practice or engage in the old deeds of the old man, guess what? You are doing the very thing that you died to. If you're a child of God, you're doing the very thing that you died to. In fact, you're doing the very thing Jesus died for. Or was your faith in vain? God forbid. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 further explains the things we ought to put off as we seek to put on Christ. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Man, this is a lot. A lot to take in. Again, the same goes for us today. It says, forsake the old man, because any allegiance to the old man is idolatry in the eyes of the Lord. Why? You want to know why? Because it actually distracts us from being able to be fully devoted to God. That's why. Anything that tries to take the seat of where God is supposed to sit in our lives and rest, we are his holy temple. Anything that tries to take his place is idolatry, and we have to be very, very careful as we live our lives serving him. Amen? Amen. So the question is, who am I called to become? Who am I called to become? Psalms 139, verses 14, the psalmist David said to the Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full and well. As you sit here today, those who are watching via YouTube and listening via website, recognize you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You got to get that into your spirit. I want you to know that you are a designer's original. Amen. God broke the mold when he made you. Amen. Get that into your spirit. But watch this. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 6, he says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags unto God. Now, where would we be, actually, if you take the time to consider this, where would we be without God's amazing grace through Jesus Christ? Where would we be? Where would we be if God did not demonstrate his love for us by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins? Where would we be? Truthfully, I don't want to know, but the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures tells us that we would be dead. Amen. We'd be dead without him. So, when we ask ourselves, who am I called to become? Only God knows, amen. Only God knows who we are called to become. Who are we? He also knows who we're capable of becoming. And according to his word and according to his consistent actions, he desires a lasting relationship with us for all eternity. God has a plan for our lives before we are ever born. And it's interesting to think that we can journey through this life without his guidance. Amen. I get it. You made it this far on your own, perhaps. But God's holy word says otherwise. As we seek to answer seek to answer the question, who am I called to become? Paul shares in Galatians, if you could turn with me to Galatians, Galatians chapter 2, verses 20. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20. Amen. When you have it, please say amen. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20. Amen. It reads, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ live in me. And the life I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's a moment to give God some praise. Amen. That's a moment to give God some praise. We are all called to become more and more like Christ, as he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. 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 Now, as we continue with the main lesson text, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The inspired writer Paul says we ought to put on the new man. Then it says, which is renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. The knowledge Paul is referring to here is the perfect knowledge of God. Amen. Then Paul goes on to say, after the image of him that created him. Let's break it down, church. God created the first man, the first Adam. As you recall, mankind was made in the image of God supernaturally in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. It reads, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Amen. Let us. I thought God was one. Yeah, he is one. He is that's the Godhead speaking. Amen. A Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. But watch this. God formed us. He formed us by his Spirit, birthed by the second man. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24. It reads, and ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, okay, let's look at the blueprint. Let's look at the blueprint that God has given us. The blueprint is, so watch this. When you are baptized into Christ, you are a what? A new creature. Some of your translation says a new creation. Amen. New creature. Amen. Created in righteousness and true holiness. The former things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. Recognize, loved ones. Even after baptism, there is still more that is required of you and me, all of us, amen. God still desires to use us for his perfect plan and for his great will. And are you willing to listen to his guidance, obey his will, and submit your life entirely? That is the question. As we seek to answer the final question, how do I get there? How do I get there? Originally, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. And on the East Coast during this time of year, it gets significantly cold. Amen. I know that we are in the great state of Texas, and I do understand that it's not every day that you guys get the cold weather, and it is kind of nice. Sometimes don't even leave the house or put on any coat or anything, because you don't really get to see this type of weather often, so you just embrace it when it comes. Amen. But I tell you what, again, it's the winter cold is no joke. It's no joke. You recognize that as it gets colder, the greater need there is for whenever you leave the house, you leave with putting on your hat, putting on your coat, putting on your scarf, putting on your gloves. Amen. Because it's cold, right? But isn't it interesting? You tell people about the bad weather coming and they get prepared. But you tell those same people about Jesus is coming and they do nothing. I'll let that marinate for a second. I'll read that again. You tell people about the bad weather coming and they get prepared, but you tell them about Jesus coming and they do nothing to prepare. But watch this. When you put on extra clothes, right, it helps you to get warmer when it's cold, right? When the cold weather comes in. Now, let me say it another way. When you put on the right gear, it helps to protect you from the harsh, below freezing temperatures, to keep you alive in the process, amen. There's a purpose behind putting on extra clothes. And the inspired writer Paul, when addressing the born-again believers, encouraging them all to put on Christ, He's saying, put on Christ. Put on Christ. But wait a minute. I thought I put on Christ already when I got baptized. I thought I already had Christ on. That's right, you did. You were baptized into Christ. But Paul is encouraging all those in Colossians, which still applies to all Christians today, after being baptized into Christ, to now put on Christ. Put on Christ. Say it with me, church. Dress in layers. Dress in layers. Say it like you mean it. Dress in layers. Amen. That sounds about right. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12. If you would be able to turn with me there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. Drop down to verse number 14, Colossians chapter 3, verses 14. And it says, it reads, and above all these, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. It says, above all these things, put on love, amen. It's like the cherry on top, amen, to the ice cream sundae. Just put on love, put it right on the top, amen, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen, amen. Paul wants us to dress in layers, amen. Dress in layers, not only for our survival or protection, because he knows putting on Jesus helps us to strive wherever we go and wherever God would have us to go. Amen. Dress in layers because this world, and you know, not only during the wintertime, but this world, like the hearts of some, have waxed cold. Paul also reminds us to put off certain things because he received the revelation, the insight, that when it comes to serving God, there is no half-stepping. There's no halfway doing things when it comes to serving God. And you may be asking yourself, well, what do you mean, Brother Bunzi? What do you mean by that? Well, Paul, he makes it plain. He says, take off the old man and his wicked deeds, because it will destroy you if you are not careful to listen and obey to what God is telling you. Truth be told, we are instructed to take off the old man, correct? We just read it. We're instructed to take off the old man, but through the way we live our lives at times, the choices, decisions that we make or fail to make without consulting God, it appears that some of the clothes of the old man are still hanging halfway on us. But again, the Holy Bible is true. God's word is true. It says, take off the old man completely. Take it off. Take him off. Forgive and let go the unfruitful deeds of the past and put on the new man found in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and know that the best is yet to come. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 16, Matthew chapter 9, verses 16, if you would turn there with me, Matthew chapter 9, verses 16, it reads, it says, no man puts a piece of new cloth onto old garment, for that which is put on to fill it up, taketh from the garment and rent it made worse. We are encouraged to put on Christ, because when we put on Christ, it's not just a patch job. It's not a patch job when you put on Christ. It's a wardrobe change. You change your entire wardrobe. Amen. Jesus is not asking us for applying pieces of him in our lives. He wants it all, amen. He wants us to surrender all to him. Take off the old man completely and put on the new man only found in him. And as I close, God already gave us a new resolution. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ, amen. Jesus said he's coming again soon, and we must prepare when he comes again soon. All 66 books of the inspired word of God, all 66 books, the Holy Bible, and make up the inspired word of God. We're able to read it. We're able to understand it. Provides us the way, the truth, and the life. That which is perfect has come. That's the Holy Scriptures. I remember whenever I would read that scripture that spoke about that which is perfect, I thought it was talking about Jesus. But no, it was talking about the Holy Scriptures that we have access to now to be able to read for ourselves. Amen. Amen. That which is perfect has come. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, again, Jesus said that he's coming again soon. We must be prepared. And as mentioned earlier, resolution is a firm decision, but with God, a resolution is not just a firm decision. It's actually a much clearer and a much sharper vision. What do I mean by this? Well, follow me if you will. You may be familiar with photography, right? A resolution is a measure of detail in an image. The higher the pixelation, the sharper the image. The sharper the image, the more detailed the vision. So what am I saying? We serve a God of reconciliation, and ask yourself, where is God in your resolutions? Again, mentioned earlier, a tree without roots, it ultimately dies. Are you rooted in Jesus Christ? Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and the lesson is yours. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. If you're listening to this message and you have not put on Christ at any time in your life, and you would like to do so today, please come forward. The water is always ready. You will not regret it. To those who have never put on Christ before, they typically ask this same question. What must I do to be saved? You must hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verses 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must repent. Acts chapter 17, verses 30, and the times of ignorance God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. You must confess. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. We must be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verses 38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and be obedient unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verses 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye shall be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen. God provided us with a new resolution. I mean, he does it daily, amen. When we choose to obey him and trust his word, and trust his plan for our lives. If you're listening today as a child of God and something has been said that impacts you in a way that causes you to reexamine some things in your life, that's a good thing. We put off the old man of yesterday through repentance, and we put on a new man which is renewed in us day by day. Dress in layers, become exactly who God called you to be. Make a resolution to forgive one another while ensuring that your motives are rooted in Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to grow in compassion. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to grow in love. And also ask him to help you along the way. If you've hurt anyone along the way, make a resolution to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and abide in his will for your life. And then, and only then, he can reveal the solution that you truly need. Amen. As we stand to sing the invitation song.